and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. I'm your host, John Tanza, on this live broadcast from Washington. Here are some of the top stories making news across South Sudan and the rest of Africa on this Thursday, January 2nd, 2025. A lawmaker from Lake State says the government should destroy weapons collected during disarmaments.
Civilians are more armed, have a lot of arms, more than even the army personnel or those security forces, those security agencies. They are not armed. The implication is that because they are not armed properly, because of government is not able to arm them.
And health officials in United States say they are facing new challenges as they tackle cholera outbreak in South Sudan.
We have more of community death than the hospital death, because most people do not want to come to the hospital, you know, for the fear of being seen as a cholera patient, because sometimes when you're having the disease, it really looks awkward and most of the people fear to come.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Five people were killed and an unknown number of people wounded during intercommunal fighting in Lake State. Joel Ngomangech is a lawmaker representing Chuaibet County in Lake State. He says more needs to be done to stop violence in the restive Lake State.
Six people were killed, five from those who were attacking those in Chuaibet, and then one was killed also on the side of Chuaibet. And then there were some youth who were wounded. The cause of the conflict was just the revenge. It has nothing to do even, they live even cows. It was a revenge for the previous killings which happened between the two sections, because there have been many killings going on in this area, because the specific place that the conflict took place is called Gulmar, which is formerly known as Kubur William, the place where William Daniel was killed in 1968.
Honorable Joel, it takes two to fight. It appears like you are hell-bent on blaming Rumbek North, but it takes two to fight.
It takes two to fight, but when somebody has come to your house, it is hard now to blame somebody who is attacking the house. That is what we are saying. Not because we are taking side, but we are telling the truth. Who is attacking, who is the one to blame? So that is just a natural justice. You cannot blame somebody who is attacked. You are blaming those who are attacking, even if they are right or wrong, the fact that they have attacked someone. And when thereafter the fight took place and people were killed in the land of those people, those people who were attacked are presumed to be right until we go to court. So that one is out of question, because we cannot blame those who were attacked.
When this attack was taking place, where were the police, the army, the national security, and others who are supposed to protect lives?
No, the problem is that in South Sudan, as a whole, leave alone Lagos State, the law enforcement agencies are very weak, extremely weak, because once, they are not paid. Two, they are not armed properly, as you have been hearing this issue of sanction and armed embargo on the security apparatuses in South Sudan. The government is not able to import arms and is not able to arm even the police. So the police are left without anything to defend. Civilians are able to.
But you are repeating a narrative that is false. South Sudan has lots of weapons. In fact, every village you go to in South Sudan, people are armed. How can you say the police are not armed and the military are not armed?
And that is the fact now which I'm telling you. I've talked of this system or these law enforcement agencies being weak. What does it mean? It means that these are weak compared to civilians. The civilians are more armed, have a lot of arms, more than even the army personnel or those security forces, those security agencies. They are not armed. The implication is that because they are not armed properly, because of government is not able to arm them properly, the government is blocked, and the civilian get arms through these borders, border of Sudan and border of where there are conflict. We have had, even last time when there was...
Before conflict erupted in Sudan, communities in South Sudan are armed to their teeth. The narrative that the conflict in Sudan is spreading arms into South Sudan is also another false narrative, because before the conflict in Sudan, communities in South Sudan are armed to their teeth.
Where should you think that the guns are coming from? The disarmament has been recycled. The same army are going to disarm and the guns are coming back. Where do you think, who is in control of arms? By presumption, it is the government. The government is the authorized person to hold arms with its agencies. So when the guns are coming back every time, even if there is disarmament, you point at those who are supposed to control guns, which are the army themselves plus the police. So this, you cannot even question anybody, because they are just staying, and they are not staying willingly, deliberately, because they are being faced by numerous challenges. They are not being paid for 1 year, and for them to survive, because this is the only work they are doing, and if they are not paid, where will you go? They would go to cut trees to make charcoal or sell guns to survive and to take care of their families.
Revenge killings in some parts of South Sudan has been there for ages, even before salary delays. So for you to say that the violence is escalating because soldiers have not been paid, I would want to remind you that revenge killings have been there forever.
You are right to say that it has been there, but the guns have never been there. The guns came with this liberation war, and then they keep on increasing. When the government of South Sudan has become an independent government, it assumed the control over the system to make sure that whatever is done in the system is done under the watch of the government.
But you are a member of parliament. You have powers in the parliament to summon the Minister of Interior, to summon the Minister of Defense, to even summon the president to answer questions. Why are you not doing that?
This is, even you know it, we spoke one day about this restriction. Even the members of parliament are not able to speak on these issues. And one of the reasons I was suspended was because I was...
If you are a member of parliament and you are not able to speak, why are you there?
I was suspended. Let me just take you through what is happening in the parliament. One of the issues affecting the parliament is that the parliament is not independent from the executive. The parliament is being manipulated, beginning with even the top leadership in the parliament. Some leaders in the parliament are being used by the executive to make sure their agenda go through.
The people expect you to speak on their behalf. So if you have decided to keep quiet, then you are there not for your own good, not the good of the people.
It's not that the members of parliament are keeping quiet. I would invite you one day when the session begins and you come in, they speak. There was one day you have had even what is called honorable red. They were pointing out, but they were not speaking in precise term because of the same issue. Because we are using different things. One, you can be taken to court on defamation. And we know the government does not have any standing in court to take somebody to court.
That's Joel Ngomangech Daniel, a lawmaker representing Chuaibet County in South Sudan's National Legislative Assembly. He spoke to me from Juba this past hour. Authorities in Unity State say they are dealing with assumptions and stereotypes about cholera. John Mood Ball, Director General at the State Ministry of Health, says some cholera patients are avoiding hospitals due to stigma associated with the disease.
Yeah, today we actually received 225,000 doses, which is, smaller doses. And even within Rukona alone, to cover Rukona County, Bentiu Town, and POC and Budang, the first places that were first affected by cholera cases, these doses alone are not enough. Yeah, but the government are working hard to actually send more doses to Rukona, Bentiu, and POC.
Apart from giving people the vaccine, what else is the State Minister of Health doing to prevent the spread of this disease? It appears like it's spreading like wildfire. and you don't have the remedies to contain the spread.
Yeah, actually, the reason as to why the spread of the disease has really decreased or subsided within the state capital and the nearby localities within Bentiu town is because we have really, you know, strengthened, you know, the awareness within the community around. So we have more than 248, social mobilizers moving from door to door, aware people on how they can, you know, avoid contacting, you know, the disease, and also the stigma around, because many people have been facing these myths and misconceptions that if you take some other local treatments within their houses, because actually they have their own way of treatment, that is why we have more of community death than the hospital death, because most people do not want to come to the hospital, you know, for the fear of being seen as a cholera patient, because sometimes when you're having the disease, it really looks awkward and most of the people fear to come.
What you're telling me is, apart from tackling the disease, you're also tackling stereotypes and assumptions about the disease.
Yes, because more people fear to come to the facility for the fear of being seen as a cholera patient. Because of, you know, how you look when you have that disease, you know, the manifestation of the disease really looks awkward. And some people feel as if they go to the hospital, they will look at them as if, you know, they are not human beings or what. So I don't really understand. But this stigma and, you know, stereotype that people are having is now minimizing as we are really, strengthening the awareness within the community as of now. Because it's still, if we give vaccines, and even though we also treat the cases and we don't give preventive measures, the disease will still roll within the community. So the only best way of not contacting the disease or eliminating it is to actually adhere to the preventive measures, like washing hands with soap, making sure you're using feet latrines to go for, defecations. You know, and so many other hygienic methods of preventing the disease, like cleaning the compound. So, and also not drinking dirty water. You make sure you boil if you have no access to clean water. So these are the ways we are really trying to mitigate the disease at the community level, besides the case management, process. In the hospital.
That's John Mutbol, Director General at the Unity State Ministry of Health. He was talking to me from Juba this past hour. Nigerian authorities plan to convert 1 million gasoline engine vehicles to run on cheaper, cleaner compressed natural gas, or CNG, by the year 2027. Nigeria has some of the largest gas reserves in the world, but with only a few CNG filling stations available in the country, many who have converted their vehicles are facing a new challenge. Timothy Obiazu reports from Abuja.
Vehicles stretching hundreds of meters in line for gasoline is not unusual in Nigeria, but this is different. Here, desperate commuters are hoping to get compressed natural gas at one of the few centers dispensing CNG across the country. Some, like Yahaya Ibrahim, have been here grounded for 5 days.
We dropped load for Katsina.
After I dropped off my load in Katsina State, I came here because the remaining gas will not take me back to Kogi State, where I came from.
Taxi driver Abdullahi Ashiru converted his vehicle 3 months ago and spends only a third of his daily gasoline budget to run on natural gas. But he says the struggle to get CNG lately has been frustrating.
I've been here since 11 o'clock. See, now what is time now? At least 18 to 4. I'm buying CNG.
Nigeria has the largest gas reserves in Africa, about 209 trillion cubic feet. And last year, shortly after scrapping gasoline subsidies, the government launched a robust natural gas transition initiative, including a plan to have 1 million CNG-powered vehicles on the roads in 3 years. Natural gas is a cheaper and cleaner fueling alternative for Nigerians. Gasoline prices have increased about sixfold since the government scrapped its subsidy program last year, making more people eager to switch to natural gas. There are currently about 130 conversion centers, and authorities aim to establish hundreds more across the country by 2027. But many, like Abuja resident Omotayo James, say there's no need if CNG cannot be readily available.
At least we should have like 7 points in Abuja that is working only on him before you start conversing for conversion. This is a federal road. This is a road that leads to airport. I don't know how Ashwadi Bola Ahmed want to go to airport and they want to stop car and they are seeing people on the road like this.
Last month, the government announced a plan to raise $250 million by 2027 to support CNG infrastructure development. But many say that intervention can come soon enough. Timothy Obiezu, VOA News, Abuja, Nigeria.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, life is difficult for many families in the Middle East. Find out why after the break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what skill would you most like to master?
I would love to learn how to use my hands. That is craft work, making the baskets and doing more of the clay artwork.
So I think I will go technology any day, anytime. So mastering what I do already, which is practically technology, which is software development, applications development, analysis and data mining.
I would love to play the organ. I love it. I love the sound. I would want to have it at home to play to my family.
Now many people don't like to be teachers. So for me, I'm willing to be.
I appreciate people that I can sing because I can't sing myself and I don't have a very good voice. So I will go for singing.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Many Israelis will remember 2024 as the year that more than 100 Israeli hostages spent in captivity after being kidnapped during the Hamas assault in October 2023. The Israeli government's failure to bring them home has had deep effect on Israeli society. Linda Gradstein reports from Jerusalem.
For many Israelis, it is inconceivable that Hamas continues to hold some 100 Israeli hostages in Gaza after more than a year of war. Like many of the hostages' relatives, Yardane Gonen has worked desperately day and night traveling all over the world to make sure the plight of her sister and the other hostages kidnapped by Hamas in the October 7, 2023 attack would not be forgotten.
We're not just feeling violated by the fact that terrorists invaded Israel and murdered so many people and kidnapped so many others. We also feel abandoned. I mean, how come the world believes a terror organization narrative more than an innocent people?
Israeli protests demanding a ceasefire deal to release the hostages grew in size and intensity during 2024. They reached a peak when hundreds of thousands went to the streets after it was revealed that six young hostages were killed in captivity and their bodies brought back by Israeli soldiers. Gil Dickman is the cousin of one of those hostages, Carmel Gatt. He says the protests show the wide gap between the will of the Israeli people and what he sees as the politically motivated actions of the government.
Most of Israelis want the hostages to come home, and they're willing to pay the prices. The government, the leadership, they'd rather keep this war going forever and not end this war, even if it means that the hostages will stay in captivity.
Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has said that ending the war with a hostage deal and a ceasefire would mean that Hamas stays in power and could present a threat to Israel in the future. As a tenuous ceasefire between Israel and Hezbollah in South Lebanon took hold late in 2024, many hoped that a deal with Hamas that would end the war and free the hostages could be next. But until that happens, many Israeli analysts and politicians say the society is still trapped in the trauma of October 7th. Shelly Talmeron is a Knesset member from the opposition Yesh Atid party.
We're traumatized from what happened to us, and it's going to take a long time to rehabilitate the Israeli society. But I think there is no rehabilitation without bringing them back home. That's the first step. Once they're here, we will have all the opportunity to take care of them and take care of the Israeli society.
A recently released Hamas propaganda video shows Israeli-American hostage Idan Alexander pleading for U.S. President-elect Donald Trump to help secure his freedom. Trump has warned that there will be, quote, all hell to pay if the hostages are not released before he takes office in January. When and if that happens, Israeli society will have a long road of healing ahead. Linda Gradstein, VOA News, Jerusalem.
VOA Africa is your trusted source for news, sports, entertainment, and music. Stay engaged with VOA Africa. We love to hear your voice. You can call us 24/7 on WhatsApp and leave a message. Leave comments, requests, or greetings. We may play your message on VOA Africa. Dial the international code +1 202-258-3076. VOA Africa is always happy to hear your voice. The number again is the international code +1 202-258-3076.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America as North Korean troops bluster Russia's war effort in Ukraine. The United States is urging China to rein in its allies' provocative actions. This comes amid indications that Beijing is increasingly uneasy about the expanding partnership between Russia and North Korea. VOA State Department Bureau Chief Nick Cheng reports.
U.S. President Joe Biden and Chinese President Xi Jinping held their third and likely final face-to-face talks on the sidelines of the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Summit last month in Lima, Peru. During their talks, Biden expressed deep concerns over China's support for Russia, which Washington says has prolonged the war in Ukraine. He also condemned North Korea for sending thousands of troops to fight alongside Russian forces. For his part, Xi reiterated China's efforts to mediate peace talks, positioning Beijing as a potential stabilizing force in the war. In meetings with his NATO counterparts, U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken said that European allies have joined the United States in urging China to do more to curb its material assistance to Russia, which threatens security in Europe.
Over the past 4 years, we've had an unprecedented convergence among allies on the challenges that China poses to transatlantic security, and that includes its critical support for Russia's defense industrial base, which enables Russia's ongoing aggression, and intensifies what is the biggest threat to European security since the end of the Cold War.
Chinese officials have avoided making any comments about North Korea's decision to send troops to Russia. Analysts say this silence reveals China's frustration and the dilemma posed by the growing military ties between its two neighbors. Dennis Wilder is a former China analyst with the CIA and now an assistant professor of Asian Studies at Georgetown University. He spoke to VOA via Zoom.
The Putin-Xi relationship is not as solid or close as sometimes we imagine it. Putin will do what's in his interest, and he won't necessarily tell the Chinese what he's doing. I don't believe the Chinese were informed in advance, for example, of this mutual defense pact between Putin and the North.
Some former U.S. officials say the explicit security partnership between Russia and North Korea could weaken China's strategic position in East Asia and have long-term implications that may not benefit Beijing. Nike Ching, VOA News, Washington.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
That's all we prepared for you this Thursday, January 2nd, 2025. We now leave you with Rema and the song, Calm Down.
Another banger, baby, calm down, calm down. Yo, this your body, it puts in my heart for lockdown, for lockdown, oh lockdown. Yo, you sweet life, Fanta, Fanta. If I tell you, say I love you, no day for me, young girl, oh young girl. No, tell me, no, 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 oh, 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 oh. Baby, come give me your lo, 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 oh, 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 oh. You got me like, whoa, 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 whoa. Shawty, come give me your lo, 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 lo. I see this fine girl from my party, she wear yellow. Every other girl, they do too much, but this girl mellow. Now in my fine situation, I go use they tell her mellow. Finally, I find way to talk to the girl, but she ain't no follow. When you open the phone for one, when you know I come for one, then I start to feel a bum bum one. But she didn't give me small, small one. I know, since she started pass it down one, one. But she feeling insecure, cause her friends go, they got my life.
Been listening to Rema and the song Calm Down. I'm your host John Tanza on this live broadcast from Studio 14 here in Washington. On behalf of producer Mokbe Liabaru and engineer Bill Bass, we wish you a lovely evening. Remember to join us tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Put in my heart for lockdown, for lockdown, oh lockdown.